Hello, everyone. Pastor Mock here. This is now episode 12 of going through John Downing's book, The Cure for Unjust Anger. We are nearing the end, and as we did last time, we are now continuing to consider a number of things as we are subduing anger by laboring for patience. Last time we saw that we should be considering the providence of God, and we should be considering our own sins. Well, today, I want to look at just one consideration of the examples of other people. You know, God has given us the Bible that's full of people who were patient when they were suffering or when there was injustice committed against them. And of course, there are also many examples of people who were impatient. But God has given us all of these examples for our instruction. God sanctifies his people through his people. So we would do well to consider how other people have responded to their trials, their afflictions, and the injustices, the injuries that have been raised against them. So there are a number of examples that we could go to. Abraham is one of them, Genesis 13:8. That's the text that has Abraham's herdsmen that were arguing with Lot's herdsmen, and there was the conflict. Well, there's not enough room for both of our peoples, so what are we going to do? And Abraham and Lot decide to separate. And Lot went one way, he went east, and Abraham went another way. It looked like Lot had the greater land, the more lush land. And you notice in that account that Abraham doesn't lord it over Lot. He doesn't get angry that Lot chooses the apparently superior lot of land. Now, why does he not get so angry? Why doesn't he presume or say, no, I'm older than you and I'm more important than you. God spoke to me, so I should get that land and you get the other land. Well, he doesn't get angry with Lot, and they divide amicably because he had already been promised in the previous chapter. He had already been promised from God to have the whole world. He was going to be the father of many nations. He was going to be a blessing. These nations were going to be blessed, and the nations beyond them would be a blessing because of Abraham, the father of many nations. So he already is resting in the promise of the world. So it didn't matter to him if Lot went that way and Abraham went the other way. He was resting in the Lord's promises by faith. Moses in Exodus 17, verses 4 and following is another example of patience. This was the instance when the Israelites had run out of water and they started grumbling against Moses. You know, that's a serious thing. You got to have water to live. And they're complaining. And they almost kill Moses. They are ready to stone him. Well, what does Moses do? Does he pick up a stone and throw it at them? No, he prays. He cries out to the Lord. And the Lord delivers. The Lord is kind to Moses and to the Israelites. So Moses prays for the Israelites when they are ready to stone him. Now that seems unthinkable, doesn't it? Do you think that you could pray for those who are your enemies? Doubtless, your enemies aren't trying to throw stones at you or kill you. They probably just throw hurtful words your way. They gossip about you. Maybe they just don't be your friends. And enemies or even just your loved ones, they say hurtful things as well. Do you think that when they commit injustice against you, that you could pray for them, that you could overcome their evil with good and do so patiently? You can, by the power of the Spirit, by trusting in Him. David is another example in 2 Samuel 16. I'm not going to go through that again because last episode we did cover that. This was the instance with Shimei and David. And Stephen, the martyr, in Acts 7, verse 60, he prays for the Jewish people. And then he's stoned to death. What's intriguing about this account is that just a few verses before he is stoned is the end of a very long speech denouncing that generation of Jewish people that was given prophet after prophet and was given the Lord Jesus Christ, yet they rejected Jesus. And Stephen calls the Israelites a stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in their heart and ears. And this was an angry speech. Stephen was full of righteous indignation. And what is his posture at the very end? It's compassion. You know, the two, just anger and compassion, are not unrelated. Those both are godly responses to the world around us. Of course, there are other examples that we ought to consider. God, Exodus 34, 6, says that God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He is quick to give mercy and grace and shows mercy from generation to generation to those who love Him. And in Psalm 103, verses 8 and 9, we read, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." Verse 9, "He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever." The Lord is justly angry at all sin. But we see here that even His just anger subsides and is followed up by mercy, grace upon grace. And Jesus, one who is gentle and lowly, He is the finest example for us when we consider patience. 1 Peter 2, 22 and 23. Well, 20, beginning in 20. "For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly." What's the example of Christ? He entrusts Himself to the Father, to the Judge who judges justly. And that's what we are to do as well. We are to entrust ourselves to the Lord of vengeance. "Vengeance is the Lord," says the Lord. So when we suffer, when we are cursed, when we are reviled, blasphemed, when we are beaten physically or mentally or socially or spiritually, what is our response? Is it a quickness to anger? Or quickness to compassion? Now, again, there are many examples And Downham says, if these examples will not move us to the love of meekness and patience, let us consider those who are subject to the fury of anger, and we will easily see what a cruel and ugly vice it is. Someone said that if an angry man, he's quoting Seneca or paraphrasing Seneca, someone said that if an angry man would look in a mirror in the midst of his fury, he would appear so horrible to himself that it would be a notable means to work hatred in his heart of such a deformed vice. And it goes on to talk about how this is impossible apart from the grace and Spirit of God. But you know what it's like to see angry people. You've seen it on their faces. And perhaps you, by the Spirit's conviction, in the moment, in the heat of anger, you get a glimpse of what it's like. And you see more clearly how you express anger and the ugliness of that anger. Let that example also, let your sinful ways also be a deterrent. Let the Lord use those to drive you away from a quickness to anger and sinful, loose speech. Consider all the many examples in Scripture of those who were patient. Consider all those examples in Scripture of people who were so impatient. Consider them as examples of what not to do. And then I would also say, look at those around you, in your family, in your extended family, in your church, people you look up to, people who are patient, and consider their ways. Have a conversation with them. Ask them about how they have cultivated that compassion, cultivated that patience that is worthy of note and worthy of imitation. And have that conversation with them and maybe even ask them to mentor you, to disciple you in that particular area, to keep you accountable. These are good ways of slowly putting off sinful anger and putting on the ways, the behavior, the attitude of Christ. We'll see you later next time.